Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winning.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
This week might be bigger than any Super Bowl. Yeah, it's up there. This is a big week this week for me. And I'm assuming it's a big week for my fellow Patriots fan, Patrick Sisko, who is also here on the podcast this week. And just so that we balanced it all out properly, we also have Dan, the Colts super fan here, so that he can try and defend his team. And to give him some backup, we did bring in two other rival team super fans. That would be Greg of the Steelers and Andrew of the Jets. So Dan does have the proper backup. Pretty much the only team we're missing is King Rex of the Ravens. I don't think King Rex wants to talk about his team that's clearly cursed for bringing up all this stupidity about Deflategate. Hello, everyone. I'm Pod Vader. I am clearly the biggest Patriots homer, and this week is all about Revengegate. Who cares about Deflategate? Who cares about Spygate? Who cares about any of that? Because after this week, we're talking about Revengegate. This week is deemed Revengegate. The Gronk U Tour 2015 presents their biggest hit, Revengegate. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fired up, Jay. How are you?
Oh, I am super fired up. Dan, how are you right now?
Well, I'm kind of annoyed after that whole intro myself.
I'm glad you're annoyed, because you're going to be really annoyed come Monday morning. Andrew.
Why don't you file a grievance with the league about how annoyed you are?
That's a great idea.
And then deny that you ever did it.
I don't know if they ever denied they did it. They just sent in the library on it.
Pagano said he never did it, but that's okay. He's going to get fired anyway.
Andrew, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good, Pod. I just thought that we were going with the Revenge Ghazi line of terminology here, so I'm a little thrown off by this whole Deflategate nonsense.
Well, it should be Deflategazi or Ballgazi is what we called it. No, this is Revengegate. Since everybody wants to put gate at the end of everything, this is Revengegate. Greg, welcome in. I know you have a big super fan battle coming up here in just a few moments with Drew Brooks, the producer extraordinaire at ESPN Radio. How are you today?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
That's a good idea. And speaking of fines, joining us here kind of on the late, but you wouldn't know that until I just told you. That's Tim, our Falcon super fan. What's happening, Tim?
I am just getting off of a meeting and walking to sit next to the lake so I can look out over a beautiful scenic area while I talk about moving to 6-0.
Nice. Tim is our Falcons super fan. The Falcons and the Saints of the Thursday night game. We will be talking about that in just a moment. But first, I'm going to bring you super fan battles that we have between the Chargers and the Packers. Just so you know, the reason why you haven't heard the Patriots Colts super fan battle is because I have to wait all week for that game. And then I have to wait all day on Sunday for that game. So I'm going to make everyone wait for that superfan battle, and it'll be the last thing on the show. So if you'd like to listen to that superfan battle, you can just skip right ahead to the very end of the show and then rewind. I'm going to guess it's going to take us about 20 minutes. It's all about Revengegate here in week 6. But as I mentioned, we're going right into it now with the Cardinals and the Steelers. It's been a while, but Drew Brooks returns in his capacity as the super fan of the Cardinals. They are facing Greg and the Steelers. Drew, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back. Thanks for finally calling me again.
Well, it's all about matchups. And true, I probably should have called you earlier this season to get you on to talk about the Cardinals, who I still think, despite being a little inconsistent and letting me down for my lock of the week in week four, are still probably, I would say, the leading contender to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I guess it depends on whether or not you believe the Falcons are for real. I think the Giants are basically two plays away from being 5-0. I mean, you know, and I would never bet against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, the Cardinals are obviously part of the conversation. One loss at home to St. Louis, well, not a great loss. You know, they've always struggled against division teams, especially division teams that can rush the passer. St. Louis did a great job of that. And Todd Gurley, man, that kid is special.
Well, here's the thing for your team, in that this is one of those emotional games. I'm putting emotional in quotes, because this is the game that all the fans look at and they go, here's Bruce Arians. He's returning to Pittsburgh. You know, it's going to be a big hyped up game. Ben Roethlisberger says he wants to play. We'll get to that in a second, Greg. So, Drew, what are your feelings about this game? Is the hype train leading into this game?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, coming from Ken Whisenhunt even before that, it seems like for a while Arizona was just Pittsburgh West. But, you know, there have been a lot of stops in between. I mean, Arians has come out and said this is just another game. Obviously, they're motivated to play. I think it's important to win games like this on the road to prove to the rest of the league that you are for real. But I don't think there's a whole lot extra in this game, knowing, other than the fact that, you know, the Steelers are a really good football team in the AFC. A team that you might potentially face in the Super Bowl. I think Cardinals fans are looking for a little revenge from the Super Bowl where they lost. But other than that, I think this is a week six football game of two really good teams. And unfortunately, we don't know if Ben Roethlisberger is going to play. I mean, if he was 100% healthy, this would definitely be, I think, the game of the week.
No, the game of the week is Revenge Gate. This week's all about Revenge Gate. We can talk about that later, and we are going to talk about it a lot on today's show. Greg, what do you think about all this? Bruce Arians coming back home. What is your thoughts about the hype train in Pittsburgh, and what's the latest on Ben Roethlisberger?
I think BA coming back is a big deal. I mean, they tried to retire him. They tried to put him out to pasture, and he just since then came back to win two Coach of the Year's awards, and I think it's incredible that he needed that push to get out of the OC role into a head coaching job, and he's phenomenal at it. So I'm actually pretty excited to see him come back. And also, from my college days, I love seeing Larry Fitzgerald come back to Pitt. I know he didn't play for the Steelers, but playing in Heinz Field for Pittsburgh, against Pittsburgh, is pretty cool. It's been a long time since I've seen him there. For Roethlisberger, I mean, they're saying that he has a chance to play, but I don't really believe it. I mean, if he came back this week, it'd be 2 weeks ahead of the minimum, 4 to 6 weeks. So I think we have at least two more weeks to wait. And I hope they do hold him out, because I think if you rush him back against the defense of the Cardinals, it's just going to be too much, and he might get hurt again.
Speaking of that defense of the Cardinals, they're pretty strong. How do you feel your offense matches up with that defense? And let's assume it's Michael Vick.
With Michael Vick in there, I think it's horrible. I think the Cardinals defense, I saw the Detroit game, I believe it was, earlier this year, where they just returned everything, or no, the San Francisco game, where they returned those two interceptions for touchdowns. And if you watch Michael Vick in his two starts, he is throwing the ball to defensive backs. They are reading him. They're getting a beat on him. And the only reason he doesn't have more interceptions is because they're dropping him, which I do not think Arizona will do. I think it will be a very tough matchup. I think Bell will get his yards, but I can't see Vick doing anything against that pass defense.
Drew, what do you think of your defense versus Mike Vick in the Steelers offense?
I'm not worried about Michael Vick at all. I mean, obviously Antonio Brown is good. Patrick Peterson can try to cover him. I don't know if anybody can actually cover him. I expect a couple of big, you know, holding or pass interference penalties just because of the way the defense of the Cardinals play. But, I mean, to me, this is all about stopping Le'Veon Bell on the run. I mean, Todd Gurley ran all over them in the fourth quarter. And if the Cardinals can stop the run, then it really shouldn't be a problem. The offense is clicking. I don't think the pass rush for the Steelers is going to be a problem. I think it's all about that front seven stopping Le'Veon Bell and the run, because I think if you make Michael Vick throw, he's going to make mistakes. And from what you've seen from the Cardinals defense, you know, in the Chicago game and the Detroit game, I mean, if you're going to make bad throws, the Cardinals are going to take advantage of it. So if I expect a lot of guys in the box, and I expect them to test Michael Vick, and we'll see if he can carry this team to a win.
Greg, what about Martavius Bryant? Does he add an extra weapon for Vick, something that he can rely on?
Well, he's come up with a knee issue, which kept him out last week, and it might keep him out again this week. They haven't said much about him. So I do not think he's going to add anything if he does play, just because I don't think he's healthy.
He's not on the injury report. He is not on the injury report.
Well, I don't think he has to be on the injury report yet, because they're not so many days within the game, and I don't know if he's been officially activated. So the beat reporters are saying
he was activated on Tuesday.
Okay. So I think then maybe today he might appear on the injury report, but he does have a knee issue that kept him out last week.
Drew Brooks, you're the professional producer here. What's the latest on Martavius Bryant?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I would have
How
to look
dare
online.
You?
I've been working a lot, man. I try not to keep track of the third wide receiver for the opposing team that often.
Wow. That is a shot and a half. All right, so let's move on to the Arizona offense versus the Steelers defense. The Steelers defense has certainly made its strides and looks like it's getting better and better every week. But I have a feeling that doesn't worry you either, Drew.
No, it really doesn't. I think the Cardinals are a team this year where if all things are flowing for them offensively, there's not a whole lot you could do to stop them. The only way to beat this team is to punch them right in the mouth. And if they can get in front of Palmer, I mean, Palmer is due to make one or two.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. Palmer is going to make one or two terrible throws and terrible decisions. Sometimes it will not hurt them, but you know, if you saw the Bears game, Jared Allen makes that incredible interception just at the line. There are bad throws to be had, but the way that this team is playing right now, I really just don't see the Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger to be a problem. I expect the Cardinals to be semi-conservative, take the shots when they can with guys like John Brown. But my question is, how do you stop Larry Fitzgerald right now? What they've done to incorporate him in this offense, moving him around, putting him in the slot, lining him outside, he's doing everything and he's getting involved. And he and Carson are just on the same page right now. And if that continues, I mean, this offense is going to continue to be scary because Andre Ellington is closer to coming back. David Johnson is providing something that this team has needed for quite some time. And Chris Johnson, man, I think, depending on what happened Monday night, I think Chris Johnson is actually second in the league in rushing yards. But he's definitely top five.
I'd have to look that up. While I'm looking that up, Greg, what are your thoughts? Do you have an answer for Larry Fitzgerald?
No, the answer, we don't have an answer for any receiver. The secondary is still horrible, but what they've been able to do is they've been bringing additional men to blitz, and that's been what's made the defense look better. The front seven will stop the run, but when you go to the pass defense, I know Bruce Arians doesn't like to protect his quarterback, and that's the Steelers' only hope, is to put so much pressure on Palmer that they have to start holding guys back and becoming more conservative on offense with the play calls. I think that's the only way the Steelers have a chance to hang with the Cardinals.
By the way, Drew Brooks, according to your current employer, my former employer, the stats say Chris Johnson is, in fact, the second leading rusher in the NFL this year, behind only Matt Forte in Chicago.
Which is weird, because there was a couple of games where I didn't think Forte was really rushing for that long. I just didn't remember what happened on Monday night, if one of those two backs would have overtaken him. But this is Chris Johnson. I mean, this is a guy that wasn't even starting. I mean, this is a guy that came in late in the preseason, and he's running really well for them. I think a lot of it has to do with David Johnson and just how many offensive weapons this team has. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be successful on the run. Ultimately, they might end up with a lot of yards just if they have to run out the clock in the fourth quarter. I expect them to get conservative with the lead. But, you know, as Greg said, I mean, this team is going to score points via the pass. And I don't think Arians is going to be afraid to hang a big number on them. I mean, they've hung some big numbers on some teams so far this season. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but boy, would it be fun if it happened in Pittsburgh.
Before I get your prediction, how will Arians manage that running back committee? Because it does appear that you have three strong weapons in that backfield.
Well, there's so much else that David Johnson does. I mean, he catches balls. I think he can line them up in a five wide situation. Obviously, they have him on the kickoff return team. I think that at any position, luxury, you know, the more weapons you have, obviously, is the luxury. I think they'll ease Andre Ellington in. You don't need Andre Ellington to be great right now. What you can't have is him get hurt in the playoffs like what happened last year. So I don't expect a whole lot of touches from Ellington until he's 100%. And even then, I would be cautious just because you could have all three guys playing.
I'm not going to talk much about special teams, although the Cardinals do appear to have one of the more reliable kickers heading into one of the most unreliable stadiums for kicking. But I don't think we need to dive into that. What's your prediction for this game, Drew?
I think the Cardinals win, and I don't think it's just because I'm a fan. I don't trust Michael Vick. I know they stole that game on Monday. When he has to make decisions, I just think he makes a lot of mistakes, and the Cardinals are really good at creating turnover opportunities. So I expect them to take the lead early, and I expect them to kind of keep it throughout the game. If I had to guess, probably say 31-17-ish.
Okay. Greg, rebuttal.
Well, I'm actually in agreement. I think it's going to be about 31-24 Cardinals. I just think Vic's going to throw a pick six or two, and that's going to pretty much – the Steelers will catch up in garbage time, but I just don't have a good feeling after Monday night. So
it seems like we're all in agreement here. We all don't trust Michael Vick, and we all think the Cardinals might have a stronger team than the Steelers. I don't even think it's a might. I think I can say with authority the Cardinals have a stronger team.
I disagree with that. I think that if you have Ben Roethlisberger there, the Steelers are as good as anybody in the NFL. I mean, Roethlisberger, I don't think ever gets enough credit for how good he is. With Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, I mean, there's – you know, when you look at the Patriots offense, it's probably the unit you trust the most. But a healthy Steelers offense is second in my book.
All about Revenge Gate this week. I don't care anymore about this game. This game is over. Thank you, Drew Brooks. Thank you, Greg.
You got it.
Thanks.
Right, and we have another battle. I am Ryan, the Jaguar superfan, but we're not here to talk about them. We're here to talk about the San Diego Superchargers. That would be Ken as our superfan. How you doing, Ken?
Horrible. Horrible after that loss on Monday night.
I could certainly imagine. Let's go over to greener pastures if you like that one. Green Bay is hosting this game. They're playing the Packers, and Brian is our super fan. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to hear from you, Ryan.
All right, you too. All right, guys, let's get straight into the battle. Ken, I will start with you as an outside fan. I love watching that Monday night game because it was a lot of fun and really exciting, but I'm sure as the Chargers super fan, it was not very fun. Kind of a big loss that knocks you back a little bit, and now you have to go into Green Bay. I know you're not super high on their chances this week. The only thing I'll try to build up is you do have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, right?
I think so. Yeah, we do. I'd say Rivers is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but when he has less than a second to throw the ball, not good things happen. And with the way that offensive line looked on Monday night and just the complete ineptitude that is shown by backup to the backup linemen, I do not like our chances. We couldn't run the ball on Monday night, and I don't suspect we're going to be able to run the ball on Sunday either. So even though we do have one of the best quarterbacks, there's not a lot of room for him to work in that pocket or with a run game. So not good.
That's a good point, Sam. And now you're going to be going up against Aaron Rodgers instead of Michael Vick. But even more than that, it's actually been the Packers defense that has really stepped up in the last few weeks and gotten the Packers the win while the offense is struggling a little bit. Brian, tell us what you think about how the Packers match up against the Chargers.
I don't hate the matchups. Just kind of building off of what you had said earlier, Ken. I'm really looking forward to watching the D-line line up against the Chargers O-line. Rivers doesn't move around very well. He's got a nice quick release, so that it may be a saving grace for him, but I imagine he's going to be under attack for most of the game. Matthews and company have really put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks in pretty much every game this year. I think we're second in the league in sacks, and I kind of expect that to continue. As far as the offense goes, I think that they get a lot of the attention, but it's really been the defense that's played really well. The offense has struggled the last couple of games. We put up 17 points on offense against the 49ers, and then another 17 points on offense last week. So I think what we're seeing is without Jordy Nelson, the Packers really don't have someone who can threaten deep. And so we've gotten by with a lot of short and intermediate throws, but defenses are catching on to that, and they are kind of stacking up the line a little bit. So we could really use a deep threat to emerge from somewhere. I'm not sure if that's Davante Adams, who actually practiced today. So hopefully, he's back soon. But the other potential deep threat we have on the roster, Jeff Janis, he is built like Jordy Nelson, but does not have nearly the awareness or experience. He's really a second-year guy from a small school and has a lot of growing yet to do. So I think we're going to be watching a lot more dink-and-dunk offense with Rodgers having to throw into tight windows. Luckily, he's pretty good at that, so it hasn't really hurt us too bad so far.
I think the most similar thing between Janis and Jordy that I can find is that they're both white. That's about all I got for Janis.
Both white. They're both 6'3", and they both run about 4'4". So,
never know.
Big, tall, fast white boys.
Maybe he turns into someone as great as Jordy Nelson, but that is a tall task.
Yeah.
Ken,
I hold my breath.
Yeah. Kenny, I mean, the Chargers were basically kind of blown out by the Vikings, who is the second best team in this division, and you were on the road in that game as well. You got a win against the winless Lions and the Browns, but, you are still if you win this game, it would be huge, but it sounds like to me you don't have much confidence. Do you foresee a close game, or do you think that the Chargers are going to get blown out in Lambeau?
So last week I called for a blowout, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that did not happen, and defense looked pretty good. But here's the problem with the Chargers defense, and this has been a problem throughout the season so far, is that they've been good, but then they give up a huge play and it doesn't matter. So that's not a very good formula to have when you're facing Aaron Rodgers, who can dice up a defense and find a blown coverage as well as anyone in the league. So I don't actually expect the Chargers defense to look bad throughout the entire game, but I know they're giving up a big play. Brandon Flowers looked really, really bad against the Steelers, and he wasn't even playing against Antonio Brown. Jason Verrett locked up Antonio Brown, and the only time, and I know that Mike Vick was throwing to him, so it's not the same thing, but he looked really, really good, which is a great sign for us because we haven't had a good corner in years. But I, at the end of the day, the Packers are going to be able to put up points on this defense unless they can shore up those big play mishaps that have been happening at a consistent rate for years, especially this year. So I really do not feel good about it, especially on the road. I give the Chargers probably a 5% chance to pull it off. But the good thing is we do have Phillip Rivers, and he gives us a chance in every game. That's no different this week. But I don't feel good. I would not bet on the Chargers. Let's put it that way.
Well, you heard it here first. The Chargers have a chance. That's what I took from that. Brian, what kind of game are you expecting against the Chargers?
Well, I guess I do expect us to win. I know we're favored by about 10, which is probably about what I would put it at. Maybe a little bit more than that since it's a home game. We talked a lot about it, and you can kind of hear in Ken's voice, he's not really too confident. I'm feeling pretty good about this game. I think the Pack rolls the Chargers and roll into the bye week next week, 6-0.
All right, finally, let's get a score prediction from the both of yous. Let's start with
28-17 Packers.
All right, and Brian?
I'm going to say 31-17 Packers.
All right, sounds like what could actually happen on Sunday. We have the Packers and the Chargers battle going on right here, and we all sound like we think the Packers keep rolling on and remain on the unbeatens, but let's find out on Sunday.
All right, so there are those superfan battles. Before we get to all of the other games for week six, let's go quickly through our picks here. We heard the Cardinals and the Steelers. Greg already agreed it's the Cardinals to win that game. I also think the Cardinals are going to win. Patrick, Cardinals, Steelers, who you got?
Cardinals.
Andrew.
I'm going with the Cardinals just based on the fact that Antonio Brown, I'm reading this headline, wants Michael Vick to be more aggressive in the passing game, and I think that's only going to lead to bad things. So I'm going with the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we said in the Superfan battle. Dan, Cardinals, Steelers.
I think the Cardinals will win this one. Their offense is grooving right along right now. I don't see it stopping against the Steelers' defense.
Tim?
I'm going to round it out. We got to go Cardinals here. That team is absolutely terrifying. And I don't know what the Steelers have outside of Le'Veon Bell right now. I mean, you know, like I said, Michael Vick can't get the ball to Antonio Brown, so it doesn't really matter. And, you know, the Steelers' defense isn't what it used to be. So Cardinals all day long, and it's not going to be close.
We swept that one. I'm going to guess we might sweep Chargers-Packers. Here's the question that I will pose, though, if anybody wants to jump in on it, is why does Vegas have this game at 10.5 points? I think the Chargers are much better, especially knowing that the leading passer in the league right now, at least in terms of total yards, is one Philip Rivers.
I think it might have something to do with the Chargers being on a short week, traveling across the country to playing the best quarterback in football without like three of their starting offensive linemen. So they think if it is going to be a close game, Green Bay just backdoor covers and scores a late touchdown. But I don't think this game's going to be too close either, because I don't think San Diego's defense is anything special. So I could see Aaron Rodgers just whipping the ball around the field all day, especially at Lambeau Field, where he threw his first two interceptions last week. So maybe he's looking for some redemption.
Yeah, I don't know about a blowout here by the Packers, but I do like the Packers at home. We've said this before. We don't see anybody really beating the Packers in Lambeau. 10 points seems rather high. We also heard on the
opening line, or sorry, Bob, is that the
no
line
the op-
try that yeah, actually
opening ahead. Line was opening line was 9.5. It's actually moved up to 10.
Wow, no one wants to
yeah.
that, I guess.
No one's biting. Here's another one that sort of confused me out of Vegas, and that's the Eagles being 3.5 point favorites at home over the Giants. I've got the Eagles, and I'm basing it on last week, them sort of putting it all together against the Saints, but I don't feel confident about this pick. Greg, Giants, Eagles.
Well, I'm going Eagles. I don't know how I agree that the Eagles are going to win, but I don't know why they're huge favorites. Is that the Odell Beckham effect?
I don't know. Patrick?
Push.
It is a little bit of a push, isn't it? Andrew, give me a pick.
I'm gonna go with Philadelphia. I think that the weapons that the Giants are gonna be missing is gonna be the deciding factor. They're not gonna be able to dump the ball off to Shane Vereen every two plays like they did last Sunday night against San Francisco.
Dan?
Yeah, this one's definitely tough. I think I'll give the Eagles a slight nod. Seems like the Giants don't always show up for the game and against the quick scoring Eagles attack that we, well, I guess maybe not this year, but in the past, that we've seen that might just prove to be a little too much for the Giants to overcome late in the game.
And Tim?
I'm going to disagree with everybody. I'm taking the Giants in this game. I don't think the Eagles are anything special. And yes, I'm saying that as the super fan of a team who should have lost to the Eagles. But, I mean, we also should have lost to the Giants. Like, I feel like the Giants had a more complete game against us than the Eagles did. And the Eagles, I just feel like they're just going to make so many mistakes. And, like, I feel like the team just doesn't play smart. And, you know, I like Eli more than I like Sam Bradford right now. So I'm going to take the Giants. And, you know, even if he doesn't have all the weapons, I feel like Eli's a good enough quarterback to still spread it around. And, you know, that Eagles defense doesn't scare me. So, you know, I'm taking the Giants.
I don't think that's crazy to say. Yeah, go for it, Patrick.
Yeah, I just realized I want to switch my vote from a push to the Giants just because I'm also really mad at Mark Sitko, and I want his Eagles to lose because of all the ball guys.
What else is new?
I'm just saying. Revenge score, like, rears its ugly head pretty much every way.
There you go. See, it's all about Revenge Gate this week. All right, we're going to jump into the rest of the week. By the way, our Pigskin Pick'em group, Sitko is still in the lead with 52 overall correct. He had a big week last week, nailing 10 of the games. I got 8, and that was less than average. I'm very disappointed in my picks. I am feeling shame. Hopefully I will do better. I'm not giving up on number fire, though. I'm going to stick with the number fire method in choosing my games. And here we go. We will start with the Falcons and the Saints, and we just so happen to have the Falcons super fan here. So, Tim, tell me what you expect to see out of tonight's Thursday night game.
I mean, tonight's Thursday night game, I'm expecting Atlanta to just roll this game. The New Orleans defense is terrible, and you know our defense has been stepping up. Drew Brees doesn't look good. And, you know, as much disrespect as, you know, even I've given, you know, the Falcons defense because they seem like they're just taking advantage of, you know, opportunities as they come up, they continually do it. And, you know, yes, we're coming off of an ugly win, but, you know, the teams that end up winning, you know, in the playoffs are the teams that can, you know, get through those ugly wins and continue to do it. Devontae Freeman's running like a guy who has his head on fire, and he does because he wants to keep the starting job. So I have no idea why the line is only, you know, the Falcons favored by 3.5 on this. It seems like the easiest bet in the world. Take the Falcons. They're going to cover. But, I mean, these games are always close, and, you know, we always find some way of screwing it up against the Saints, even though, you know, we did sweep them last year. So it's in New Orleans. It should be interesting. But, I'm trying not to talk as a fan right here, but I don't see a way that the Falcons lose this game. You know, and yeah, you know, I heard, you know, on the four letter the other day, they were disrespecting the Falcons, saying that, you know, we don't know who this team is. Some games they can pass, some games they can run, but they can't put everything together. And I think that this is the week that we're actually able to put it all together, you know, even though it is a short week. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I mean, realistically, I, you know, there's a reason our Saints superfan quit. And it's because his team is terrible, and he didn't want to go up against me in a battle this week. So, you know, I welcome any Saints fan who thinks that they're going to beat the Falcons to hit me up on Twitter at Tim is hiding, and I will tear you apart just like my Falcons tear your team apart tonight. This game's not going to be close.
You can apply for the position nextfanup@gmail.com, and I will now play devil's advocate because you know that I do have a love affair with the Falcons this year. I will, however, give you some useless stats for the Saints. Drew Brees has won 7 of 9 starts at home with the Saints versus Atlanta. That doesn't bode well in your favor. Yes, you did win in New Orleans last year. Well, I don't think the Saints are ready to give it up yet. I think this talk of Sean Payton leaving the team, I think, is kind of ridiculous. I'm clearly not going to totally abandon Sean Payton and the Saints, but I don't know who the Saints think they're going to get that's going to be better than Sean Payton. And if they're really going to blow everything up and rebuild that team from scratch, I'm not feeling all that good about it. In terms of my boyfriends, they're the first team in NFL history to start 5-0 with 4 wins after trailing in the fourth quarter. That can't continue, Tim, if you're going to remain an undefeated team. I mean, just simple statistics says.
Wait. I want to make sure we're on the same page. We can't continue to win games if we want to be undefeated, because that's what I think I just heard you say, Pod. So it doesn't matter how you win. to quote the immortal Vin Diesel, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning. So, you know, I'll take these terrifying inch, you know, wins all day long. Is it good for my health? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I may have started drinking a little bit more recently, and this may be directly related. I don't know. I've had a little bit of turmoil in my life, though, but I'm feeling better. Things are getting, you know, they're turning around. I've got this happy streak going. But, you know, I don't know if that's 5-0 or the fact that, you know, things are going well at work and in my home life. So I'm just going to roll with it, and, you know, we're going to go. But does this team drive me to drink? Absolutely.
Bring your turmoil in your life to Ramona's podcast. It doesn't belong here. What I was saying is you can't continue to win when you're trailing in the fourth quarter. That's just not going to continue to happen. And I think that's sort of why the line is a little bit low. Also, Julio Jones being a little shaky, he's a little banged up. You know, he can put the team on his back for only so long, and Devontae Freeman has definitely stepped up. But I mean, you're going to need a little bit more production out of a few other players on this team to stay undefeated. I don't foresee my boyfriends in the NFC remaining undefeated for the entire season. That would just be foolish. But I don't necessarily see them
first
losing here
to go
against 16-0
the Saints and lose their first playoff game. What I'm calling it right now.
That would really suck. But I definitely have the Falcons winning this game. I don't see a blowout. Greg, what do you got here? Falcons, Saints.
Well, I think the Falcons are basically the anti-Ravens. The Ravens kept losing those fourth quarter games. The Falcons won them. So with a Thursday night game that we saw a few weeks ago, the Steelers hosting the Ravens pulled it out. I think the Saints will pull out this one in a similar fashion.
Oh, interesting. Patrick, what do you got?
You know how when you want to have a throwback day just on a random Sunday and you reach in your closet, you pull out your old royal blue Drew Bledsoe jersey and put that on? The Saints, like, reach into their closet and they pull out paper bags, just put them over their head. The same old sorry ass Saints. And,
Andrew.
Matt Ryan's going to be throwing the ball all over the field, no matter how healthy Julio Jones is. And I would be very surprised if Rob Ryan has a job on Monday.
Dan?
For all the reasons everybody already said.
Perfect. All right. Well, when we're talking about Ryan's, we'll move on to Rex up in Buffalo. He's got them at 3-2, but the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals are rolling in, and I foresee the Bengals remaining undefeated here. What do you think, Greg?
I think God hates me, so the Bengals are going to win.
Patrick.
That's analysis right there.
That's perfect analysis.
I'm going to go Bills. I just have a feeling that Rex is going to rough him up and put, you know, the Red Rocket out of his game.
Interesting. Andrew, what do you think?
I think the loss of Tyrod Taylor doesn't seem like he's going to play this week. Watching him play last week on that sprained MCL, he was limping all over the field. He didn't look the same. Sammy Watkins might not play. LeSean McCoy still not playing. It doesn't seem like the Bills are going to have enough firepower to keep up with the Bengals, even though the game is in Buffalo and the Bills historically have a good home field advantage, but that didn't stop the Giants from coming in there and winning 16-6 a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to say the Bengals reach 6-0, which is something I couldn't imagine before the season.
Dan?
Should be a pretty good game, I think. I think the Bills have Carlos Williams playing at full strength this week, so he might be able to get some tough yards for Buffalo in between the tackles. Cincinnati struggled to tackle. Reading over Simon's preview, he's kind of worried about the tackling that the Bengals have done. So Carlos Williams might be able to stay between the tackles. The Bills' passing defense has been pretty good. If they can have Gilmore shut down A.J. Green, I think they got a chance. So I'm going to go with the Bills and a slight upset there.
You mentioned the previews. Most of our super fans, I think we're still at most. It'd be more than 50%. And I do believe we are providing more than 50% of our super fans are writing up previews for each game every week. You can check those out at facebook.com/NFU podcast. And if you just go to Facebook and type in Next Fan Up in the search, you'll find our page fairly easily. Tim, last word here on Bengals Bills.
Bengals. The Bills are garbage.
Wow. I don't know if the Bills are garbage, but they're definitely banged up. By the way, Andrew mentioned a couple of guys that are hurt. Carlos Williams, their running back, still has to go through concussion protocols at the time of this recording. So we'll have to wait and see on him as well. The Bears are at the Lions, and this game is one of those that I think could go either way. The Lions are winless. The Bears keep gutting them out. Jay Cutler, probably with one of his gutsier performances last week. I mean, I just don't like Jim Caldwell. I don't think he's a very adept head coach, and I'm going to take the Bears to gut another one out here, and the Lions will remain winless. What do you think about that? Let's start from the bottom up this time. Tim.
I'm taking the Lions in this one. They've got to turn it around at some point. And if you're going to do it, you might as well do it against a division rival in the Bears. I don't feel good about my pick. Like you said, this one can go either way. But I'm just going on a gut feeling, and I hate to see a team go winless. So I'm gonna pick the Lions in this one.
What do you think, Dan?
The touchdown pass that Cutler had last week over the top of that Chiefs defense shows the talent that he has. The problem is his consistency. So since he had his good game last week, I don't think he's going to have his good game this week. I think the Lions are going to pull it out.
Yeah, but Matthew Stafford has been just as inconsistent. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like Matthew Stafford and Jay Cutler have some type of family history going on, because like they are literally the same quarterback. And it's a wonder why Stafford doesn't get as much criticism as Cutler gets. But as Dan just said, it seemed like Cutler had a good game last week, so he's having a bad game this week. It's going to be the opposite for Stafford. I think his benching might finally wake him up after 7 years of mediocre quarterback play. So I'm going to go with the Lions to pick up their first win in Detroit.
Patrick?
I think the reason why Cutler gets more scrutiny than Stafford, honestly, is because the Bears are a marquee franchise and no one expects anything of the Lions. No one ever has. Probably no one ever will. Picking a winner out of that, that's kind of tough. So I don't know. I guess I'll go Lions and I'll root for the bigger underdog of the two underdogs. but I think either one of those guys would be picking a quarterback at the top of the next year's draft.
Well, technically, the Bears are the underdog, and they are officially my upset special.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
You know, or picking the game. I get it, because my upset special hasn't really come through this year. Greg, last word here. Bears, Lions.
I trust Jay Cutler. I'm going Lions.
Well said. Well said.
Last words.
A quarterback who used to be rather trustworthy and this year seems to be struggling with finding the end of his career is Peyton Manning. He brings the Denver Broncos to Cleveland to face the Browns. I still don't see the Browns, as plucky as they may be this season, overcoming the obstacle known as the Denver Broncos. What say you, Patrick?
I'd say the Broncos win despite a terrible performance from Peyton Manning.
Hmm. Andrew?
I'm going to go with the Broncos. Even though the Browns sort of have the matchups to be able to defend that amazingly, that Broncos defense, because they have the offensive line to protect McCown. I just don't trust McCown not to make mistakes and give the Broncos either one or two defensive touchdowns. So I'm going to go with Denver to go to 6-0.
That's real analysis. Dan?
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to take the Browns. I think the secondary of Cleveland is going to be able to jam up those receivers at the line of scrimmage. The Broncos don't have an offensive line to create running lanes for in between the tackles for C.J. Anderson and Hillman. He'll just cut everything outside, and if they can get a couple touchdowns, a couple field goals. I mean, we saw last week with the Raiders. It's not pretty, but if you can get those couple touchdowns, a couple field goals, you got a shot at winning that game, and I think the Browns do it this week.
Tim?
I picked Denver in the pick'em, but let's go with the Browns just because, like, I'm feeling that today, like, where I'm just going to be contrarian to what should actually happen because it's fun. And I just want to see, like, all of the fallout next week when everybody's like, is Josh McCown better than Peyton Manning? And that just seems like fun to me.
I don't want to see
eat
that
up Monday and Tuesday. So, and I just look forward to you having to put up with that kind of nonsense, Pod.
Haven't they been talking about that on Cleveland radio? That McCown's better than Peyton right now? I thought I saw something on that on Twitter.
I really hope they aren't, because that's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous.
I don't know if that's ridiculous. I don't know if that's true. Right now?
Right now,
I have an I Hate Peyton Manning t-shirt that is sitting in my drawer. It'll probably never be worn again because now it just seems like it's deep.
Interesting. Greg, you get the last word here.
I want to pick the Browns. I really do. I think I would have if Danny Sheldon just didn't get his butt whipped. He was the defensive tackle they took this year, and everyone was super excited about him. I actually think the Broncos are going to blow him out. So
I don't necessarily know about a blowout, but I will. I just don't see the Browns overcoming the defense that is the Denver Broncos. It's funny because we've mentioned this about the Cowboys, who are on a bye this week, that they needed their defense to sort of carry that team for them to get them to the point where Dez and Romo and their injured starters on the offense was going to come back. Doesn't seem that Peyton's injured, and if he is, they're not going to tell us anyway, but it's definitely that Denver defense that's carrying that team right now. We move now to the Miami Dolphins and the Tennessee Titans. Did the Titans play last week, or were they on the bye last week? I don't remember.
Lost to the Bills. The Titans lost.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Who said it doesn't matter? And tell me why it doesn't matter.
Because Tennessee is really bad too. Like, I mean, they're 2 to 3 years off of figuring anything out. Mariota, you know, has the potential to be good. In the preseason, I said he's going to be better than Jameis, but it's just going to take time. You know, like Indianapolis is still, you know, the best team in that division, and they're bad too. So, you know, the AFC South, like, for all the disrespect the NFC South got last year, like, the NFC South is worse. Like, the NFC South was injury riddled last year, and that's why they were bad. And, you know, we're showing that this year because you have Atlanta, you have Carolina, and they're both doing fantastic. And the AFC South is still the basement of the NFL. And, you know, like, they might as well just be relegated to college football, because if there's two AFC South teams playing, I'm not watching it, just like I'm not watching college football. It's boring, it's slow, and it's not as good as any other division. So Tennessee does not matter, in my opinion.
Well, they would matter more if they had someone else coaching that team. Because watching that game last week, the amount of times Ken Whisenhunt punted inside Buffalo's 40-yard line to try to pin the other team back, it was ridiculous. It was like, well, I was watching football in 2005 again. I would pick them as the best team in that division. I mean, which isn't saying much, as you said before, because AFC South is garbage. But if they had someone else being more aggressive running that team, I would have them being winning that division this year. But if he keeps up with that conservative philosophy, I don't see how they're gonna come back and catch the Colts.
Well, the real question is, do they matter against the Dolphins, though? So, Tim, I'll let you make your pick here. You said the Titans are horrible. I say the Dolphins are just as horrible. Put it on the board.
I'm not arguing that the Dolphins are also just as horrible, but I fully expect Jarvis Landry to continue doing what he's doing. He has been the bright spot in Miami. He's been spectacular. And if Tannehill can find a way to get him the ball, then, you know, they win this game. And I think this is the week that Lamar Miller figures it out and remembers that he's actually somewhat decent, and at least decent enough for me to take in the third round in multiple leagues.
in fantasy football. So, yeah, I really need Lamar Miller to do something. Not that I'm struggling. Fantasy football update. Tim, your Falcons super fan is 5-0 and nobody is close to me. What's up? Thank you, Devontae Freeman. But, I mean, the Dolphins have got to figure it out sooner or later. And I feel like they're going to be happy that they got rid of their coach. And, you know, the team comes out with a different fire under their, you know, what's, and, they just get it done. So, Tennessee loses this game.
Patrick, I'm going to throw it to you because we had to deal with Ron, our Dolphins super fan, during the preseason, talking all this great smack about how awesome the Dolphins were, and they just look pathetic.
Yeah, the Dolphins are so bad that their coach, he should probably just quit. Like, I don't even know if he's saying he got fired. That's how bad they were. It's like, I wouldn't want anything to do with that team. But, way to win the East. But good job. Good predicting.
Who you got in this one?
Tennessee, I guess. I can't root for a team that has an interim coach and suspect talent on both sides of the ball. But like, what do they have going for them? So it's like, regardless of who they're playing, unless maybe they're playing the Texans, then I'm probably going to go against the Dolphins.
Greg.
I'm going to pick the Dolphins because I feel bad for Ron, and I hope he gets one day in the sun here.
Andrew?
I'm going to go with the Dolphins because it's coming off a bye with a new coach, and they're healthy. Brandon Albert's back to help protect Tannehill. I just think that they're going to come out, instead of playing for that mannequin and Joe Philbin, they're now down to playing for PC Principal. And Dan Campbell. So I think they're going to come out fired up to come and get Dan Campbell's first win in the NFL.
Dan?
It's interesting. Miami actually practiced tackling with their new head coach. So they might actually resemble a football team this coming weekend. But I don't think 10 days is quick enough to turn it around, or however many days it's been for them to turn around the attitude of that football team. So I'm going to take the Titans.
Number Fire has the likelihood of Tennessee -2 at 57.5%. And I'm also going to take Tennessee simply on the fact that they are at home and not on the road. Otherwise, I ultimately really agree with you, Tim. Both of these teams are terrible. We spend a lot of time talking about terrible teams. Moving on to one team that I didn't think was going to be this terrible, and one team that I don't know if they've necessarily proven they aren't as terrible as I thought they were during the preseason. That is the Chiefs and the Vikings. I don't know. I'm going to take the Vikings here at home. They're favored by 3.5 points, according to the ESPN Pigskin Pick'em game. We'll start with you, Andrew.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think Mike Zimmer's attacking defense is going to take advantage of Alex Smith, who can no longer just dump the ball off to Jamal Charles and have him get him all the yards that he puts up on the stat sheet. And also, I don't see Kansas City being able to stop Teddy Bridgewater and play action, because Kansas City has had the worst pass defense in football this year. And if they can't, they're going to have to load up to stop Peterson. And if they do that, I could see Bridgewater beating them over the top with Wallace and Johnson and whoever else they have running routes there this year.
Yeah, I did forget to mention that Jamal Charles also done for the year with a torn ACL. So we're looking at Charkandrick West and Niall Davis and maybe some DeAnthony Thomas, although a lot of people not really talking about him. Dan, what do you got? Chiefs, Vikings?
The Chiefs have done a decent job stuffing the run, according to our Chiefs super fans. So they might be able to force Teddy Bridgewater into making some difficult throws. I don't think that they have enough offensive firepower to overcome the loss of Jamal Charles, though. It should be interesting to see what they do with the running attack, whether they go with a lead back or split it between the two. But ultimately, I don't think it matters, and the Vikings win.
Tim, I'm going to pull out the useless stats here. Teddy Bridgewater won 5 in a row at home, has a 98.8 rating, has a 100-plus rating in 3 of his past 5 at home. That's really stretching the useless stats. I'm still going to take the Vikings, though. Tim, how about you?
I'm also taking the Vikings. Mostly, if Jamaal Charles was playing, I would take the Chiefs, but I don't even know how to say dude's name, much less spell it, so I'm not even going to pretend like I'm taking the Chiefs because no idea who their running back is. Went to pick him up in a couple leagues, and I couldn't find him in the search function, so I just gave up, just like I'm giving up on the Chiefs.
I'm pretty sure I mispronounced it too. Charcandrick West. I'm pronouncing it the way it looks. Greg?
Well, this is Alex Smith's big shot to show everyone that he's a top 10 quarterback. And I don't think he is, so I'm going to go Vikings.
And to steal a joke on Charcandrick West's name, I saw this on Twitter posted by someone. It sounds like the name of a Florida retirement home. Patrick.
It also sounds like the name of one of Kanye's kids.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Vikings.
Alrighty then. Moving on now to our next game, and that would be the Washington Redskins at the New York Jets. Andrew, you're the Jets super fan. What do you expect here?
This is one of those games where I fully expect the Jets to win based off all the injuries Washington has, based on the matchups, but I still have my guard up because this is the Jets we're talking about. Because the Jets coming off a bye week historically haven't been good with under Rex Ryan, because Rex Ryan would be his typical player's coach guy, give him off, not play him as hard, like shoot. He would blow steam up his team's ass, tell him how good they are. But the Jets, Todd Bowles seems to be going with a different approach. And Pepper Johnson, the defensive line coach, is telling Leonard Williams how shit he is, how not good a player he is, even though he's like the third best defensive lineman according to Pro Football Focus so far this year. So I just like the mentality the Jets have in the organization right now. But the biggest reason I like the Jets in this game is, and I think Tim would agree, is if having Kirk Cousins under center throwing off his back foot every play against the blitz is going to be a really bad thing for Washington, because Cousins just doesn't have the arm strength like a guy like Cutler has. Like Cutler had that throw last week where he hit, I believe it was Josh Bellamy in the corner of the end zone, where he just threw off his back foot and just launched it and it fell right into his hands. Cousins doesn't have the arm strength to make those throws, but he's going to have to do that because the Jets are going to blitz to oblivion, and they have the corners to match up with the receivers that Washington has. And that's even if DeSean Jackson does play, which doesn't even look like he will right now because he has that hamstring injury. And if the Jets can continue to just run the ball on the ground with Kurt Ivory and Fitzpatrick can limit his mistakes, I don't see how the Jets are going to lose this game at home coming off a bye week to a pretty bleh Washington Redskins team.
Well, here's a reason why you should feel a little bit nervous, because the Jets are my lock of the week.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
I've lost two of my locks. The Falcons were my lock last week and took overtime and a pick six to get over that one. My locks really haven't been very good. So hopefully I can turn things around here with the Jets. But knowing the Jets, they're going to let me down and they're going to make me even angrier.
Don't say that.
Who you got?
Don't say that like you mean it. Don't say that like you mean it, Pod. Like you wouldn't mind losing a third lock of the week just to see Jets fans be miserable.
That is kind of true. Dan, who you got?
I got the Jets. I just don't think the Redskins have anything going their way in this matchup. They got Kirk Cousins throwing off his back foot. We got the three-headed running back monster in Washington. It's not really a monster. And then the Jets are going to have Chris Ivory to hand the ball off to, and Fitzpatrick seems content throwing to Marshall and Decker, so I don't really see the Redskins matching up well with any aspect of this game.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets as well. I mean, as long as Ryan Fitzpatrick plays better than Matt Ryan did last week, this shouldn't be an issue, and Matt Ryan had a terrible game. So basically, the secret to beating Washington is don't have your quarterback turn the ball over three times on stupid plays and you're going to win. So I don't think it's going to take that much for the Jets to win this game. And, towards the end of the week, I fully expect the Jets to be higher ranked in power rankings than the Falcons, because they're going to manhandle the Washington Redskins.
Greg?
I'm going with the Jets because they're better, and Fitzpatrick has an awesome beard.
And Patrick.
As much as I love Fitzpatrick and always have, I've always had the proclivity for that guy. Wanted to be a great quarterback. He's a wild card. You know, he's erratic with the ball, and you know, he's always trying to make a great throw when he really probably shouldn't. That said, I think he's only going to have to turn around and hand off for this game. They can pretty much just drive the ball down the throat of the racial epithet and come away with a victory. You know, provided he has to turn the ball, you know, run face first into his guard, I think they walk away with victory.
Patrick, you've moved.
So funny.
But you've also moved into some like deep gymnasium or locker room or something. Where the heck are you now?
I'm in a corridor of my building. Hold on.
He's in the training room.
Yeah, I was worried
for the super battle.
During the last analysis thing, we heard a lot of voices, and then I heard him go into that room. I thought Patrick was kidnapped, and he was like in a trunk. So I'm glad somebody else asked the question before I got to it.
Yeah, we get English Simon, so pretend you're going to be when you come and get me.
Now I think he's backing up some type of truck. I don't know what's going on here.
He's has been out of that pick.
All right. The next game up here is the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, just a quick update on the little Texans. We got blown out last week. I feel shame. But I didn't have a chance when there were three freaking 12-year-olds on the other team, all over 6 foot tall. I handed it off to the youngest kid on my team. He's 11. He's probably all of 3 feet tall and weighing in at like 80 pounds. And this freaking monster athlete comes out of nowhere, literally ran probably from his own end zone at the snap of the ball and just destroyed this poor little kid. And it's flag football. And I was like, this isn't even fair on any sort of level. That said, I put in my
it's
first
also
team
not
offense.
Fair that you're making kids play flag football.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
You know, my daughter just turned 2 and she's 37 inches tall. So if you got a 3 foot tall kid on your team, then yeah, you're handcuffed.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean,
like,
well,
what does a 3 foot tall, 80 pound kid look like? I feel like that would be a fat kid. Like 80 pounds is a lot spread out over only 3 feet.
All right. Well, then he's probably like only 50 pounds.
Okay.
Definitely the height and weight of the 11-year-old is the most important part of the story. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The point of the story is little Texans got blown out. We're hoping to come back. We'll see what happens. But in any case, the big Texans have really let everybody down. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a team that I want to believe in. I keep trying to believe in them, and they keep coming up short. So I don't know about this game. To me, it's a coin toss, and I'll let Dan take it since he's got to deal with these teams the most.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the youth football component for this one. I declare the winner of this game the punt, kick, and pass champion of the AFC South.
Nice. Well, who's going to be the winner?
I'll go with the Texans. Hopefully, for the Texans' sake, Foster's back to full health, and he can put the Texans on his back and lead them to victory. That is, if his back doesn't break in the middle of it.
Tim, who you got?
Give me Houston because I'll never believe in Jacksonville as long as I live.
Greg?
Well, I'm going to invoke my fantasy team and I have more Jaguars on it, so Jacksonville.
You know, Blake Bortles is not as bad as you might think at the quarterback position. I highly recommend a Blake Bortles. I don't know. Yeah, even in this game, I play Blake Bortles over a lot of different quarterbacks. Patrick, what do you got?
I have Blake Bortles starting in two of my leagues because I drafted Andrew Luck first overall.
So you're going to take the Jaguars here?
No, you're going to take the Jaguars.
Patrick, we're losing you. Now your cell phone is crapping out on us. Andrew, give me your pick.
I'm going to go with the Texans on a long week
Blake Bortles isn't as healthy, and just think the Texans need to win a game for Bill O'Brien, and so I'm gonna go with Houston.
One more note. It appears that going back to the youth football, it appears that the Texans have benched their crybaby quarterback. So maybe now they'll be ready to play in the NFL.
Well, that is true. They did make the quarterback switch to Brian Hoyer. I don't know. I just don't. To me, we've talked enough about two teams that really stink. I want to believe in the Jaguars, and they're the home team, so that's why I'm going to take the Jaguars. Moving on now to the 4 o'clock game. Our Panthers superfan, Jimmy Six, was a little disappointed that I didn't pick his 4-0 Panthers for a superfan battle against the Seattle Seahawks, who are 2-3 and are at home. And I told him the main reason was, one, we don't have a Seahawks superfan, so you can apply for that position, nextfanup@gmail.com. And two, the Seahawks aren't as mighty and powerful as they once were considered. Let's see if Patrick's phone is back working sort of normally. Patrick, what do you think?
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. Like, I think the illusion of greatness was thrust upon Seattle a bit too early after, you know, back-to-back good years. And granted, one of them was a great year. But they're not a great franchise. They weren't set up to be a great franchise. They're super top-heavy. And, you know, it's showing. I kind of can't root for Seattle on a consistent basis. I haven't seen a lot of Carolina play, to be honest with you, but I mean, on paper, they look really good, so I got to go with Carolina.
What do you think, Andrew?
I'm going to go with the Seahawks. These games are historically very, very low scoring, and I think Seattle's going to try to get Jimmy Graham more involved this week, and he's also had good games against Carolina his days as a stay in the NFC South. I just think Seattle's going to – I can't see them being 2-4. I just can't, especially at home. Give me the Seahawks.
What do you got, Dan?
Does anybody know what the offensive coordinator in Seattle is doing these days? I mean, he talks into the media, and it doesn't sound like he even knows. He wants to use Jimmy Graham one way, then he wants to use him another way. But the bottom line is he just doesn't use him. So until he figures out how to use his offensive playmakers, I mean, they have a ton of athleticism with Jimmy Graham, Lockett, Kearse, Baldwin, and then the backfield with Lynch. And Fred Jackson out. I mean, he has so many pieces, and they're still struggling to score. And he's overthinking it. I mean, that's what Pep Hamilton's been doing in Indianapolis. And you can see they've been struggling to score. So until Seattle figures out how to score, I just don't think they're going to be able to pull out a game like this against the Panthers. So give me the Panthers.
Tim.
I'm also taking the Panthers. I mean, what are you going to do, get Jimmy Graham involved? Okay, it's not like the Panthers don't know how to game plan for Jimmy Graham. They played him twice a year for the past however many years Jimmy Graham's been in the league. You know, full props to Josh Norman. He's an amazing corner. And, like, I feel like he just keeps getting so much disrespect. It's like Desmond Trufant for Atlanta. You know, I mean, we have two of the best corners in the league in the NFC South. And, you know, people are just overlooking the fact. Also, Keekly's back this weekend, and you know he's fully healthy coming off the concussion. So yeah, I don't see Carolina losing this game. Seattle hasn't been able to put it together. The defense, you know, doesn't look great. They're giving up tons of points, even with Cam Chancellor back. And you know, this may be a low-scoring game, but I really feel like Cam is just going to put everything on his back and just go for it. So, you know, I'm picking Carolina. I don't like the idea of having, you know, two undefeated teams in my division. But realistically, I mean, Carolina's good. And, you know, they terrify me. And they're the only team on my schedule that I'm scared of. And I really think they're going to go into Seattle and win.
Greg?
Tim also doubles as the NFC North super fan, if anyone's wondering. Or NFC South, I guess it is.
Greg, who you got?
I think you guys are nuts. It's Seattle. I mean, Seattle has three losses at St. Louis, at Green Bay, and at Cincinnati. They're playing at home, and the Panthers have Cam Newton and nothing else. I mean, I don't see
nothing else being like no losses.
right? So how does Seattle's three losses
and no legitimate like receiving threats and no legitimate offensive line and a defensive line?
Are you saying that Greg Olsen's not legitimate?
Okay, so one. All right. I mean, yeah, it's Seattle at
Ted
home.
Ted Ginn Jr. looks good this year. So, I mean, and they're putting it together, so you can't say that they don't have anything legitimate. Carolina's playing better than Seattle. So, you know, yes, on paper, Seattle should win this going away, but I don't think they're going to because, I mean, this isn't a parity league anymore, it seems like. The teams that are undefeated are going to remain undefeated. That's been the trend that we're saying the entire time. Like, I feel like we can't say that Carolina's not legitimate. And I hate Carolina more than anything. If Cam Newton was right here, I'd push him into the damn lake. So, yeah, no, I mean,
good luck with that.
I'm a big dude, too.
But, I mean, Seattle has had a tough road schedule. They have three losses on the road. Okay, they're not playing great, but they're still – I still think they're better than the Panthers. It's not close.
I'm 100% with Greg on this. Carolina, even though they are undefeated, they haven't really that impressed me that much. On defense, they have, but still, I don't see how they're gonna score the ball. And I think the Marshawn Lynch coming back healthy is gonna be a big thing for Seattle. And I just think they're gonna find a way to put up more points on the board than Carolina is, and it's just that simple.
Here's from the useless stat category. Russell Wilson, 4-0 versus Carolina, including the playoffs, which was just this last year, a win 31-17. He has a 105.1 rating, including the postseason, is 28-2. That's good for a 9.33 average at home with a 99.7 rating. Russell Wilson is good at home. The Seahawks are at home. And as bad as Seattle has played so far this season, and as you know, maybe inflated Carolina's record is at this point in the season. East Coast team going to the West Coast, playing in a late game, especially in Seattle. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And I'm going to take Seattle. Now, I will say Number Fire does not like the number, saying Seattle -7 is only a 41.5% likelihood. So perhaps a close game, but I still like Seattle at home to win this one.
Sounds like the Panthers have a shot at some revenge.
They might, but we'll see. Here's another game that we're going to try and blow through real quick so we can get to Revenge Gate. Ravens, 49ers. The Ravens, definitely a disappointment. The 49ers, not a surprise to me. I don't know how many of you were on my bandwagon as the Niners being one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. But they're certainly living up to that right now. That said, the Ravens are in a tricky spot. The 49ers have a chance to maybe steal another game and not get what I predicted in the preseason, and that being this one.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the Ravens here. I don't feel good about it. The line, by the way, is only +2.5 for the 49ers. Greg?
I think the Ravens, regardless, are going to finish 8-8 this year, and I think they're going to win. They're better than what their record shows.
Patrick?
They might be better than what their record shows, but this has come up in football karma, so I want them to lose, and I'm going to vote with my hatred. And Brad.
Good idea leading into the Revenge Gate game. Andrew?
I mean, the Ravens have fooled me all year. I'm having the same rationale every week. They can't be this bad, and yet they somehow are still this bad. But give me the Ravens one more time.
Dan?
In the classic hardball battles, I'm going to say that John outlasted Jim, so give me the Ravens.
And Tim?
Is anybody else surprised that this is like a rematch of the Super Bowl from like what, 2-3 years ago? And both of these teams are terrible now. Like, it's crazy to think about, but I mean, give me the Ravens because I don't believe in Colin Kaepernick able to do anything other than model headphones. And I mean, realistically, I mean, the Niners are really, really bad because everybody quit on them. So, and their coach looks like he has no idea what's going on with legitimately anything. So give me the Ravens all day long.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Super Bowl. It is Sunday Night Football. It is the game that Patriot fans have had circled on their calendar. I don't know about the Colts fans. Dan, have you had this game circled at all?
I did up until Andrew Luck got hurt. And then I got nervous.
Well, you should have had it circled still. You should still have had it circled. Because, honestly, I will not be surprised if the Colts no longer exist as a franchise after this game. I'm going to put as much hype and hyperbole on this game as I possibly can, because the Patriots won't. The Colts aren't biting. None of the Colts are saying anything about this game. The Patriots are saying, oh, this is just another game. This is just another game. But behind closed doors, if these men aren't whipped into a frenzy, I swear to God, I'll go up there and I will slap Bill Belichick in the face myself. This is the game that means everything to us Patriot fans. And I don't know if my passion is coming through as my voice has been raised a couple octaves, but this is the game of all games. I saw that there was an article already written on ESPN.com that Roger Goodell should give up on the appeal. He should. It's not a surprise to me that all of a sudden ESPN is trying to get rid of this, as Bill Simmons has left the company and he's been mouthing off about his former employer. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for you all to understand that this whole stupid thing that happened this offseason is the result of the Colts being whiny, cryy, baby losers. They're just losers. And they couldn't handle it anymore. And then they had the balls changed and they got their ass whooped even worse than what it could have been. So I now will allow you to jump in and say your words.
Wait, real quick first. That wasn't Patrick already?
Keep filing on.
Oh, yeah, no. So. Trust me, you've got your backup and you'll have your time. I will definitely give equal time here. But let us bask in this moment for right now, because come Monday, I'm clearly going to be very upset if the Patriots lose this game. Patrick, go ahead.
Fair enough. So I will say this. I will say that every game that's played, someone complains about something to the officials and or the league before or after the game. It just happens all the time. As it happens from high school up through the pros. Like, that's just the way football is. There's so many rules and everything's kind of convoluted, and a lot of it's based on the field chicanery, you know. So, like, of course, you're going to complain about it after the fact when you lose. That happens. That's not a big deal. The way the Colts went about this with their buddies over at the Ravens and the league office, for some reason, is complicit in all of this, is inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. And you are insane if you think that Bill Belichick is not specifically motivated to humiliate that club. And I mean, I've been saying, like, they're going to try and score 72 on them. Yeah, they are, right? But I think it's going to be worse than that. Like, I think they're going to try and do it in truly humiliating fashion. Like, just breaking out, like, weird formations and just trying to make the other team look ill-prepared. Because that's how you make the coach mad. And I think that's the goal. I think that they want to make the coach and the GM of the Colts look so inept that they're out of the league, just out of sheer spite. And maybe I'm just projecting that onto Bill Belichick, and that's not fair. But I think you've kind of seen hints of that all season, all offseason and all during the season, especially with Brady, with Tom Brady, and his just going from 15 minutes down to 4 minutes. Like, he's been mad, like, legitimately angry. And you can't go down to Park Avenue and play the suits over at the league office. That can't happen, but you can play the suits. So I think the Colts are just going to get massacred here. The only thing that would be better is if the Ravens somehow managed to win their division last year and end up on our schedule. It's like, they should be thanking, like, the Holy Mother that that didn't happen with the hell that we bring down on that team. But we're going to have to fill up for the Colts. And for me, the sad part of this is going to be if Andrew Luck doesn't play, because then we're going to have to go after Hasselbeck. And I don't want to have to go after Hasselbeck. The two reasons, one, I think he's playing better than Luck, and, you know, it's because he can release the ball quicker than Andrew Luck for whatever reason. So that offsets the weakness of the offensive line. Like, you notice it less when the ball's gone in 3 seconds than you do when it's gone in eight. But the bigger issue is that he's a Boston guy, went to Boston College. He's a ball boy for the Patriots. He's a bad boy for the Patriots. So it's kind of like, it's always going to be in the back of my head. But I'm going to watch him throw three picks and get sacked seven times. But, you know, if hopefully Andrew Luck can play, that would just make this thing all the better. We beat him by 45 points.
Dan, it is now your time.
Oh, man, I didn't think that was coming. This is one of the most ridiculous scandals in NFL history, and all we heard during July from New England fans, the most annoying fan base in the history of the NFL, was how innocent he is. Now we're hopping into Colts week. They're going to take all their frustration out on the Colts, but in week one, we had scandals already lining up for New England with the whole headset in against Pittsburgh in New England. Like these things
that was clear on the same day. Wait a second. Now you're not going to be allowed.
All right, hold
to
on. Let me make my point.
Claims.
Here's okay. That's clear. Fine. But the point I'm making is everybody goes after New England. It's not just the Colts, but the Boston Tea Party media people. They want a scapegoat, so they pick Indianapolis for the reason that they're the last team we played. The Colts are the ones that should be having a revenge game. They got embarrassed the last few times they played them with their run defense. I mean, New England just ran all over them. That's what they should be talking about in the Boston media, not the Deflategate stuff.
I agree with everything that you said, but we're still, fact remains that someone needs to get killed, and you're the only one on the schedule that had anything to do with it, so it's got to be you. Sorry.
You're not going to say Dallas had anything to do with it? You're not going to say Jerry Jones wasn't pushing Goodell to make that decision?
Game's done?
No, Jerry Jones definitely got
Jones,
a little bit of a come up up and
yeah,
and
Jerry
and the
Jones
Ravens
that
aren't
Patriots
on the schedule.
So Jerry Jones said that it's the Patriots' turn to take their beating. You know, and I'm paraphrasing there for the sake of your ratings. But he definitely had a little piece of the coming, but indirectly after the fact, way after the fact, after they got fined. Like that's when he said they should just shut up and take their fine. Again, paraphrasing. You know, but man, the Colts.
The other point is, you guys are insulting your own team by saying that Bill Belichick needs extra motivation to play a football game in the National Football League. You don't think he goes out there and tries his best every week? You don't think Tom Brady goes out there and gets 100% every week? I mean, what's the deal with that?
No, we're
talking about extra motivation to blow them out with a record scoring performance. That's what we're talking about.
It's not that they're so hard. I'm not saying that they're motivated to win or more motivated to win than normal, because, yes, I do think that both of those guys have built their careers on being 100% motivated at all times.
Rather than take Tom Brady out the lead and then at the end of the game? Is that what we're saying?
Their motivation isn't to win. Their motivation is to humiliate. I think that's what we're going to see that's different.
Can you explain that difference? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't think that they're...
What's going to be the difference in the game plan, I guess, is the question.
Oh, Patrick's line has dropped out. Listen, ultimately...
That's the one I was going for.
Hopefully Patrick will jump back on real quick. I just want to say the ultimate middle finger in the air to the entire league has been Jimmy Garoppolo coming in literally just to take a knee at the end of games. I have a feeling that's going to continue. That's going to be the trend all season long, that Garoppolo is not going to take a single snap where he's going to either hand it off or throw the ball. He's just going to take a snap to take a knee, and that's going to be it. This game, I really do have it circled, and I really am hoping for a record-breaking performance. That's what I'm looking forward to in this game. Now, let's take all the hyperbole out, and talk actual X's and O's football. At this point, I don't think I've seen anything from the Colts offense that would make me feel comfortable against a surprisingly good Patriots defense. The team is playing just as much man-to-man as they did last year when they had two of the better corners in the league, including Darrelle Revis, who many said is the best cornerback in the league. And now you have an undrafted free agent in Malcolm Butler, who's not playing like Darrelle Revis, but has certainly shut down as many guys as he possibly could. I mean, the Patriots defense right now is a huge surprise, and I don't think the Colts can overcome that defense. What say you, Dan?
The Colts are so, I don't know, bipolar week to week with whether they're going to perform or not. This year they got out to a much slower start in years past. But the hope is they can build off of the run game with Frank Gore that they had last week. They finally had somebody average 4 yards a carry and almost get 100 yards rushing for the first time since, I think it was 2012. So bringing in Ahmad Bradshaw will help out on third downs for sure too. But if Andrew Luck doesn't play, I don't know that they have enough offensive firepower to overcome too many defenses right now. I mean, Hasselbeck's playing great, getting the ball out quick, but, you know, that's not going to help you on third and long.
And then you mentioned it. They got run all over the last couple times these two teams have met. I don't know if that will necessarily continue to be the case, but LeGarrette Blount was one of the guys that ran all over you, and he's still on the team. Deion Lewis has definitely stepped up in the running back position for the Patriots. So I like his chances here against your defense. Is there any way that you can slow down the Patriot offense?
Well, you guys keep talking about the revenge aspect to this game. Is there any chance that Bill Belichick overthinks it and doesn't want to run the ball? I mean, I don't think it matters against the Colts secondary. Probably going to complete 10 out of 10 passes any drive he wants to against that Colts secondary. They're just not very good. So there's a chance that maybe early the Colts run defense shows up and New England abandons the running game and gets the passing. But I don't know. I just don't see Tom Brady not hitting. And not hitting his receivers if it comes to that.
I mean, I don't think anybody has an answer for Rob Gronkowski. If you were to somehow take Gronkowski out, do you have enough guys on defense that could take away any of the other passing weapons in Julian Edelman or Deion Lewis coming out of the backfield?
The Gronkowski, let's face it, there's no one on the Colts that can. There's no two guys on the Colts that can, so... If they're going to stop Gronk, they're going to have to triple him. And then you take away Vontae Davis as one of the three, and there's nobody left to cover Edelman. Their linebackers aren't quick enough for him. And then coming out of the backfield with Deion Lewis, he's shown his explosiveness. And he can juke, he can duck under the linebackers. And the linebackers, especially the inside linebackers, like DeQuell Jackson's got some good tackle numbers, but he can't chase anybody. He's just a product of a good defensive line, and he's been guessing right in recent weeks, as I like to say. Guess on the right hole to stop somebody, but you get him in an open field, he's not going to make a tackle. So that's going to be the big problem for the Colts defense, is making those tackles in those short. If they do go along the ground or up the seam, and then they're in big trouble.
Patrick is typing away here on our Slack group. His cell battery died. Next time, let's do the important part first. But as he was saying, the Patriots typically win close-fought, calculated battles of attrition. This is going to be one of those games when they roll out new wrinkles that are meant to make the opposition look ill-prepared so that the Colts coach and GM look inept. It sounds like he just repeated himself. I really do think this is a blowout, record-breaking performance. Unfortunately, I don't think this will actually end up being a record-breaking performance. I'd love to see it. I'll be slightly disappointed if I don't, but I do see a blowout in this one. And I don't think, and I base that more on the X's and O's more than the revenge factor in this game. Although the revenge factor certainly gets them a little bit more fired up to blow the other team out and do exactly as Patrick and I have been talking about. Dan, what do you think the ultimate outcome of this game will be?
I think New England wins this one 38-20.
Okay. Tim?
Give me the Patriots. I don't think this is going to be a very competitive game without Andrew Luck. And you guys have talked enough, so I'm not going to talk anymore about it. Give me the Patriots.
Greg?
Patriots.
And Andrew?
I actually think this game is going to be closer than people think. Just the fact that if the Colts have any pride whatsoever, like everyone's saying it's a revenge game for the Patriots, but like I could see it being a revenge game for the Colts. The fact that they've been blown out every time these teams have played, if they have any pride, they're gonna come out guns blazing and trying to actually make it a game. And with that, and you were talking about the run game, the loss of Nate Solder is a big loss. And he's not a good pass protector, but he's a monster in the run game. So I think that's going to hinder the Patriots running game a bit. And Andrew Luck, off 2 weeks rest, maybe he could come back, start throwing the ball to looks like a little bit of rejuvenated Andre Johnson. They have weapons there. I still think the Patriots are going to win, but I just don't think it's going to be the massacre it seems like you guys think it's going to be.
Marcus Cannon has proven himself quite adept in a sub role for sure, but I think he'll do just fine if that's the plan to have Marcus Cannon being the starting left tackle. I'm not sure if there's a plan to move Vollmer over to the left side or not. But Cannon came in and replaced Solder in that game against the Cowboys, and there were no more sacks once Cannon was was in on the line. I'm not so much. Yes, losing Solder is a blow, but I'm not that concerned about it, especially as Tom Brady gets rid of the ball the quickest in the NFL at 2.06 seconds from snap to throw. That's kind of tough to defend on any level.
Yeah. If the Colts are going to have any chance, they're going to need luck to play. If they're going to need luck to have some big plays in the game, extend some plays that he should have been taken down on and find one of the speed demons open down the sideline, whether that's Hilton, Dorsett, or Moncrief. And then I'm hoping they can build off of what they did last week with Andre Johnson instead of just taking him out in the flats, actually using him in a game plan and seeing if he can bring some pain.
I will say that the Patriots secondary has been, you know, how good they've played this year has been masked a little bit by the front seven of the Patriots, which I mentioned in the preseason was going to be the thing that was going to have to happen. The Patriots front seven was going to have to improve their pass rush. They have. Clearly the addition of Sheard has been huge for the Patriots pass rush. I just, in this one, simply from an X's and O's standpoint, I'd be looking at the Patriots as being the dominant team. From the revenge factor, I'm looking for a blowout. And as a fan of this team, with all the hyperbole, I'm looking for the record-breaking blowout. That's sort of how I'm viewing this game, and I'm really disappointed that it's going to take until Sunday night to actually watch it. All right. That's it. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Went a little long, but that's because it was the Patriots, and I decided to let it go that way. Greg, Andrew, Dan, Tim, thank you very much. Patrick, thanks for joining us for as long as your cell phone held out. You can catch Sick Go on the recap on Sunday night, and obviously we've made it the Monday tradition, hopefully we'll not feature me calling in a sad, droopy state, although there could be a chance. Listen,
we're hoping for it, Pod. We're hoping for it.
I always feel this way when I go into a game feeling overconfident. I know that there's going to be that there's going to be that point in the game where I'm going to be like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening. And then I'm just going to feel like an ass on Monday morning. Clearly, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's why I know there's a chance it will.
Every week?
No, we don't. but nice final shot there. So for all the super fans, I am Pod Vader. Thanks for listening. And Jeff Fisher, take us away.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
There you have it.
The Colts Patriots have allowed me to get lunch while you guys were talking. None of you in the gym.
Wow. Your life's really looking up, Tim.
I know. I mean, my day.
Everything's breaking for you.
Everything's coming up right now.